I'm Andrew Dewey. This is NPR Illinois. Brian Mackey interviews columnist Charlie Wheeler.
Your column this week looks at the political strategy being used by Republicans to focus on House Speaker Madigan, Michael Madigan, and his long tenure in office. This is not a new strategy by any means. In fact, you wrote about this back in 2012 in another column. Has the execution, though, of this fire Madigan strategy changed? How has it changed between now and then?
Well, I think one of the ways it's changed is the money involved. Governor Rauner and some of his very wealthy friends have put in tens of millions of dollars into this trash Madigan campaign. Now, the Republican Party 5 years ago, even longer than that, always tried to make Mike Madigan the issue, but it never really played out. Part of it was they didn't have the money to spread the message so broadly over so many different platforms as the current Republican Party, which is basically a wholly owned subsidiary of Bruce Rauner, is doing now. The party apparatus has created fake newspapers to promote the anti-Madigan agenda. They paid for a quasi-documentary examining Madigan and coming to the conclusion that Madigan is basically a dictator. They had some goofy contest to count down until it was time to vote for Mike Madigan for speaker. They even, when the Republican leaders were talking about the need for compromise and the Democratic leaders at the inauguration were using the same kind of conciliatory tones, the statewide Republican operation sent out blast emails trashing lawmakers who voted for Madigan for speaker again, saying that they betrayed their constituents and that the only way to get rid of Madigan is to get rid of Representative Wheeler, who's in Madigan's pocket.
What did you make of that? You mentioned the tone struck by leaders on Inauguration Day. What did you make of that, what the Democrats and Republicans had to say, and differences perhaps between the House and the Senate?
I found it encouraging that all spoke about the need to work together, the need to find common ground, the need to move the state forward. It was sort of like, okay, let's let bygones be bygones, and let's see where we can find areas in which we can agree to deal with the state's problems.
You also mentioned fake news and the polemical quasi-documentary made against the speaker. But of course, there were some real newspapers, editorial pages that jumped on the Fire Madigan bandwagon. Your column has some, I guess, scolding might be the way to phrase that. What is your message to those newspaper editorial boards?
My message is, if you want to be critical of Mike Madigan, fine, be critical of Mike Madigan. But don't buy the phony line that's being blasted around the state by the Republican operatives that Mike Madigan is the one to blame for everything that's gone wrong with the state. If you want to say you don't agree with Mike Madigan's stance, you think Madigan should be working more closely with the governor, whatever, that's fine. But to suggest that Mike Madigan has run the state into the ground for 34 years, that's ludicrous. Now, granted, there's a certain editorial license, but that's an exaggeration that does a disservice to your readers. All you have to do is look back at the history books and see who was governor for most of the time Mike Madigan's been speaker. Who was Senate president for 10 years during Madigan's speakership? The answer, it's been mostly Republican governors, Thompson, Edgar, Ryan, and for 10 years, Pate Phillip was the Senate president. And I've suggested, go ask Pate Phillip, were you controlled by Boss Madigan? And you get an answer that would not be printable in a family newspaper, that not could be aired, but the gist of it would be, no, I was not controlled by Madigan. So if you want to write an editorial, at least base it on facts. Don't just blindly buy into this notion that Rauner's minions are peddling, that Mike Madigan is to blame for everything that's wrong with the state. Now, Madigan can be criticized, certainly, for the fact that he controls the House and what happens in the House. That's on his responsibility. That's his responsibility. It's on his shoulders. But he can't be blamed for what happens in the Senate. He can't be blamed for what governors have done. And to the extent that the state's problems have developed over time, it's been the Senate and governors, most of them Republican, along with Madigan, who've had a hand in doing it.
So the Republican Party message may not be grounded in reality in terms of the share of responsibility the Speaker holds for the financial problems of the state. But the message does seem to be getting through to voters. Representative John Bradley, who is a close Madigan ally, lost his race last year. Madigan lost his supermajority. With all the money and focus going behind this strategy, do you think that Republicans might continue to gain some political success if they keep chipping away at it?
Well, I think that's the hope among some of the governor's brain trust. The idea being that if we can continue to chip away, we can, what would you say, avoid responsibility for the problems that have occurred on our watch by blaming it all on Madigan. I mean, if Governor Rauner wishes to run for a second term in 2 years, he's got to have something to show for it. You know, Illinois has been a state, we're embarked on our bicentennial. We've been a state since 1818, and in all those years, we've had budgets up until the time Bruce Rauner became governor. And so in that sense, he's failed in a way that no other Illinois governor before him ever did.
I'm Andrew Dewey. That was NPR Illinois' Brian Mackey interviewing columnist Charlie Wheeler.